Well, welcome. Merry Christmas, everybody. Can I just get a couple of things out of the way? So for the first two services, I was so thankful that I didn't have to get up here after Grace Kids because they did such an amazing job that I forgot to publicly recognize them. So can we just give them a hand really quick? And I'll tell you what, those two young ladies that sang their solos, Megan and Britton, you guys better watch out. We got people coming for your jobs. They were amazing. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're like, Christmas service, this is the big, where's Pastor Keith? Well, Pastor Keith, I was texting with him, and in fact, I'll be honest with you. If you saw me, I was on my phone just a second ago, and I was just checking in with him how he's doing, and said, "Hey, do you have any message that you want to give to the church there? Either the people that are here, or people that are watching online, or that are joining us today?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "Would you just pass on a couple of things? First," he said, "will you just wish them all a Merry Christmas from him and Lori and the rest of their family?" And then, secondly, he just wants, man, he so wishes that he could be here. If you haven't heard yet, Pastor Keith and Lori tested positive for COVID earlier this week. They're doing fine. I just talked to them. They're doing great. Probably the worst thing that's going on with them is he can't taste coffee or food. And it's just like, oh man. But they're doing good. And then he did have one more part of his message. And he said that for me to tell you guys to get ready, because this was going to be the best message that you've ever heard in your entire life. Wait, I might have just set myself up there, didn't I? Actually, here's the thing. I can guarantee you it's going to be the best message that you ever hear. And it's not because I'm going to give it eloquently or it's going to be the beautifully spoken thing, but it's going to be because of who and what the message is about. And it's what we've been singing about all day today. And so I'm excited. Let's dive in just really quickly. If you have a Bible and you want to flip to it, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20. It's going to be a little bit till I get there. You can just put a bookmark there or something like that. If you're nervous that you don't have a sermon guide and you're like, we don't have a sermon guide for today. It's not going to be your typical message, but we are going to be in Matthew chapter 1. And so I just wanted to give you a heads up. And typically, the way that things work is Pastor Keith and I get together every Tuesday, and we do sermon prep together. We do the same series as in Grace Latino at the Nampa campus and here in Middleton. We work through the same material. We even prep our messages together. But every once in a while, we do a different series, and this series is one of those different series that we've been doing. We started our series 4 weeks ago in Middleton for the Christmas in Idaho. We actually started it the Saturday after Thanksgiving, and we've been going, and Pastor Keith has been doing a different series, and so we haven't been sermon prepping together. We haven't been talking about direction while I'm here on Sundays, and I get to hear his message. It's a little bit different than when you're planning it out to one another, and so when he called me late Wednesday afternoon and said, "Hey, I got some good news and some bad news. What do you want to hear first?" And I said, "That feels like a trick question. Why don't you just give it all to me at once?" And he said, "I've tested for COVID and you've got to preach on Sunday." And I'm like, oh, I'm like, can 2020 get any worse? I haven't been prepping. I haven't been planning. This is like the Sunday of all Sundays in the year. And I was super nervous and I was worried and I was like, what am I, so I started pouring back over like his notes from the last couple of weeks. And man, I just was like, the Spirit was like, just take a deep breath. I've got this. It's going to be okay. And I'm like, okay, God, how's it going to be okay? And it's like I just started thinking, I'm like, have I ever lived through a worse year than 2020? I ask God, how's it going to be okay? And the next thing that comes to my mind is, have I ever been in a worse year than 2020? I'm like, all right, God, I'm going to trust you on this. And so where are we going? So I started thinking about this. I started turning back the calendar. I started 2019. No, 2019 was good. And, 2017 and 2018 and 16 and 15. And I started checking off things, the birth of kids. We got married. I graduated college. And I'm thinking and I'm working my way back through my life and going, has there ever been a year worse than 2020? And I found one. I had to go to a different century. I had to go to 1999 for what I felt like was a worse year than 2020. A little thing happened in 1999 called Y2K. Who knows what Y2K is? If you're under 35, you don't have your hand in the air. I see you over there, Hibbard. Some of you got to get your hands up. I see you. Let me explain it to you. There's this amazing thing that came about really to the public in the mid-90s, in 1995, when I graduated high school, this thing called the internet came to my school. And we had one computer in the library, and you got to sign up for the internet, and you could go on the internet, and the first thing I searched for on the internet were the lyrics to a song by REM called It's the End of the World as We Know It. It was amazing. And it was wildly appropriate for 1999 because somewhere in the middle of that year, I'm not sure where, but computer programmers and scientists got together and they started talking and they made this announcement that we think we may have a problem. See, when we built the computers and we designed the internet and the clocks, we're not sure what's going to happen when the clock turns from 11:59 on December 31st to midnight on January 1st in 2000 with the new century. And those of you that lived through Y2K, you know what I'm talking about. Those of you that didn't and don't know what it is, you think I'm crazy right now. But it was, they were like, what are the percentages that this is going to happen? We only think it's like 2 or 3%. 2 or 3% chance that the world is going to end. I'm going to go just a little bit crazy. And everybody did. You think that toilet paper hoarding happened, it was invented in 2020? You should have been in Y2K. People were hoarding water and food and medical supplies. The things that were on our mind in December as the calendar changed from September and October into November and December, and then December 1st became December 4th, and then it was the 8th, and then the 9th, and then the 12th, and the 25th, and then we slowly got closer to New Year's Eve, December 31st. The stuff that we were worried about was if a plane takes off in New York at 10 o'clock in the evening and it's flying to the West Coast and it turns midnight in New York, do the computers on that plane quit working and does that plane fall out of the sky? I'm not kidding. These are the things that we were worried about. And so New Year's Eve came around and it was 10 o'clock and we're holding our breath. The collective world was scared the moment leading up to the clock switching over from 1999 to 2000. And we, to be honest, I didn't want that year to end. The unknown of what was going to happen. Then we fast forward to 2020. And it feels like that's flip-flopped, right? Our hope and prayer right now is not, Lord, please don't let this year end. It's like, can we fast forward and just get rid of 2020? It's been the worst year ever. Amen. I love that. Thank you. That's right. It feels like we just can't wait for this year to end. It feels like in March, somebody hit pause on life, but they forgot to stop the calendar. Initially, I was like, this is going to be awesome. There's some time off with the family. This is an unexpected blessing. That thought lasted about 6 hours when my wife bought 20 yards of rock for me to move and a half an acre of a fence to build. And we started painting and scraping. And I'm like, God, can you please give us a miracle? My back can't take COVID-19 anymore. I wasn't worried about getting sick because she was working me like a dog. Husbands, I need to apologize to you right now because I see some of your wives taking notes. They're like, rock, that sounds good. But it's like somebody hit pause on our life, but the calendar kept going. Some of my best high school friends in the world that I met through the Ministry of Young Life 4 years ago when they were freshmen missed their high school graduation last year because of COVID. There are people sitting in this room right now that didn't get a high school graduation. There are people sitting in this room right now that had plans to get married and
February, March, and April, and May, and they had to postpone the start of their life together because of an interruption. There are people that lost loved ones this year to COVID-19. Entire sports seasons were interrupted by COVID-19. Job promotions were interrupted by COVID. How can you get a promotion at work when you can't even go into work and everything is online? School years were interrupted. Teachers trying to figure out in-person, online, hybrid, and it changing from week to week to week. It's hard to get into a rhythm when everything interrupts and everything changes and we're trying to figure out what life is going to look like. Is it ever going to be back to normal? And I know and I recognize that there are some of you here today that you think, you know what, actually hasn't been that bad for me, Pastor Jason. And I praise God for that and I'm so thankful. But if we're really honest with ourselves, if we're really honest, there's not a single person sitting in this room that hasn't had some aspect of their life impacted by the interruption of COVID-19 in 2020. Every single one of us, in some way or another, we've all been impacted. We had goals and plans that we thought we were going to achieve this year. There were people in January 1st, 2020 that said, this is going to be my year. This is going to be the year where it flips for me, where it changes for me. This is going to be the year where I get that job promotion or I finally pay off that last credit card bill and I get to yell out, I'm debt free. And then COVID hits and work shuts down and I can't go to work and I'm not drawing a paycheck and those bills just start to pile back up. People that wanted to travel and visit family that they haven't seen for 5, 10, 15 years suddenly can't go. That honeymoon that you were going to take your wife on that you didn't get to go on when you were younger because you couldn't afford it got canceled and postponed. We all had dates circled for this year, days that we knew something was going to happen, something good, and we were looking forward to it. And we got interrupted and it got shut down. I'm going to let you in on a little secret today. We're not the first people in the world to have our lives interrupted. Amen. And we're certainly not going to be the last. It has happened from the beginning of history and it will continue through to the end of history. But I'm just gonna be really real and honest with you. It is super easy for me to focus on the circumstances of the situation of my life, to get caught up into those missed goals and those missed plans that I had, the things that I was going to go do or the people that I was going to go see. It's really simple. It's really easy for me to get caught up and to get frustrated and to get angry when my plans don't come to fruition, when the things that I wanted to do, the things that I wanted to accomplish, the places that I wanted to go, the things that I wanted to see, when I can't do those things, it's easy for me to focus on the negative of the circumstances of the situation that I find myself in. It's easy for me to be angry, and it's easy for me to try and replace that with things that aren't good for me. See, when life is interrupted, when things happen and it doesn't go according to plan the way that we want it to, just because of the way that we're created and the way that we're wired, when you don't get the opportunity to fulfill a goal or to complete a plan, a void happens. You missed a goal and you've missed that goal and a void happens. And it's acceptable. It's okay when it's my fault, but when it's somebody else's fault or some virus's fault that keeps me from accomplishing the things that I want, it gets really frustrating. That void gets really hard to deal with. And so I find myself in 2020 dealing with the issue of not being able to accomplish the things that I want to accomplish. And I find that that void is there. And so then I begin to try and fill it with things that aren't necessarily good for me. They're good in moderation, but things like food. When I have a void in my life or when I'm struggling, I run to food. That's why when you see me and on this stage, I'll go like this. With my weight, last year in January, I was on the stage preaching and my opening was like, I was like, hey, like, you know, blah, 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 you haven't seen me in a while. I've lost like 75, 80 pounds. And everybody's like, woo, clapping. I've gained 65 of it back. But we have this void that we try and fill because of interruptions that happen in our life. And for some of us, it's food. For my wife, it's work. She stays later. She brings work home. She tries harder. For other people, it's relationships. It's entertainment. It's TV. It's movies. It's you fill in the blank. It's whatever. We try and find a way to deal with the what ifs of life. We find ourselves lying in bed in the dark marches of the evening, tossing and turning. If only I would have done this. If only I would have said that. My kids like to call it the would have, should have, could have's. If only. If I would have made this decision, if I would have said yes to this, if I should have paid off this bill instead of that bill, I shouldn't have gone on a date with him or her. I should have taken that other job instead of this job. If only, if only, if only, if only. It's a real struggle that we live in. And if you find yourself in the slightest bit in that place today, just even the tiniest sliver, the tiniest little bit, struggling to fill that void caused by an interruption in your life, can I share with you some words inspired by the Holy Spirit over 2,000 years ago to a guy who is living in the same place that you are right now? He was a carpenter by trade. He had a young gal that he was engaged to be married to. He had his life planned out, wedding plans ready to go. He knew where they were going to live. He'd made a down payment on their house. They were going to raise a family together. They were so excited. And then he finds out that she's pregnant. And he knows for a fact it's not his child. And he's lying in bed, tossing and turning, dealing with an interruption, going in his mind, if only. What am I going to do? How am I going to deal with this? What's going to happen? Should I have done something sooner? What can I do now to deal with it? And the Holy Spirit shows up and says these words from an angel. But as he considered these things, tossing and turning, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David. I just want to pause right here for just a second. I love that he calls Joseph by name. If you're in that place today and you are in relationship with God, the promise of Scripture is that Jesus knows your name. He knows exactly what you're going through and he has a word for you. Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. The sweetest word, I think, in all of Scripture, Emmanuel. Because it means God with us. It means God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. That's what we celebrate today. We celebrate the birth of our Savior. We celebrate the fact that Jesus came down, Emmanuel, God with us. And while we may feel like the peace of 2020 has been ripped away from us because of COVID-19, we don't have to worry because we have Emmanuel, God with us. Plans that we had, days that we had circled, things that happened, or things that we thought were going to happen that didn't happen, because we don't have to worry about them because we have Emmanuel, God with us. There's this thing that people do every year, at least people I know do it. It starts with, I've never done the whole process, but it starts with, like in December, they start praying and they're like, God, would you give me a verse for the, they find like a verse of the year, they find a word of the year. Have you ever done that? Every lady in the audience is shaking their head yes. Every guy is looking at me with a blank stare like, what are you talking about? What? It's like you find a verse and a word for the year. And so sometimes it's like hope and joy. And Laurent, I think your word for this year was hope, wasn't it? Peace? Believe. Believe, that's a good one. But you have believe and hope and joy and peace and community and contentment and all of these different things. And so what it is it's a goal that you strive for. It's this, and you pray for it. And it's this thing that you do for the year. You hope it's going to define your year. And I'm sure that if I went out and did a man on the street interview and I took that microphone and I started walking around, and if you were honest and didn't give me a Sunday school Jesus answer, and I said, would you describe 2020 for me? Words like disaster, frustration, anger, disappointment, waste. Those would be the words that we would describe 2020 by. At least those are the words that I might choose. And it's easy. It's easy to write off 2020 as a waste. We'll just say, I'm just going to forget about it. 2020 comes and everything will change and it'll get back to normal. And then once everything's back to normal, it'll be okay. Or they'll say, once the vaccine rolls out and we all get inoculated, everything will be okay then. Or when the government, the senators finally get their act together and start signing bills and sending us money, then everything will be okay. That's a lie, church. We don't have to wait for those things. Everything is okay now because we have Emmanuel, God with us. I don't have to worry what 2021 might bring because I have Emmanuel, God with me. You don't have to worry about what 2021 will bring because you have Emmanuel, God with you. We don't have to worry about anything because of the greatest interruption that has ever happened in the history of mankind. And that is when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords invaded our space in the person of Jesus Christ as a babe in a manger. He lived a perfect life. He died a perfect death. He was buried in the tomb for 3 days, and then he rose again to glory on high by the Father, and he will be given a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every tongue should confess and every knee bow that he is Lord. And that King of Kings is Emmanuel with us. It's not often considered a Christmas verse, but I want to leave you with a verse at the end of the book of Matthew. It's Jesus speaking to the disciples after the crucifixion and the burial. And it's at the end of the story of Jesus's time with them, and they're worried about what's going to happen. And he says, listen, I am with you even to the end of the age. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He is our Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us.